that you can be seated. It is good to be back in the Lord's house on this Sunday morning. Thank God for His blessings and grace, allowing us to be able to gather back in. It's a blessing for Melissa and I to be back in Kentucky. Amen. And seem like we've been gone forever. Amen. But and I know we're getting ready to make another trip, but pray for us about that, that God would help and work all those things out. We had a good time with Joshua and his family out there in Oklahoma, had a good meeting, preached revival there Wednesday through Sunday. And then, of course, they have, they call it Fifth Sunday Meeting. They have several preachers come in on Saturday and Sunday, and a good crowd there, and a good service, good services. And I praise the Lord for that. And we left from there and went on out to Kansas and stayed a couple of days with Mom and Dad. We got in there on Monday night and stayed through Wednesday night and had a good time with them as well. While we were there on Monday, Mom had had a appointment with her therapist, and she graduated from the walker to a cane. Amen. And so they said she's doing good with that. She does have a lot of pain, but other than that, things are going good, and we praise the Lord for it. Amen. And then made it on back in here Thursday night and was here Friday and Saturday and today. And we're leaving out in the morning early, Lord willing. So be in prayer for us about that. But it's a blessing to be back home. Good to see all of you. Believe it or not, I'm glad to see you. Amen. I hope it's mutual, but even if it's not, I'm still glad to see you. Amen. And good to have visitors with us. Amen. Good to have Curtis and his wife with us here. And amen. Then the Lovett family and their bus driver. Amen. With us. And Brother Bobby told me his picture's on their CDs, but he's just a bus driver. Amen. Anyway, and of course, if they keep gaining, they're going to have to get a bigger bus. But anyway, we're glad they're with us. And the ones they brought with them going back to North Carolina from Nebraska, that's a blessing as well. And I hope that we've come to worship the Lord. He deserves to be worshiped. Amen. He deserves to be worshiped. There's a lot of people get a lot of praise that they really don't deserve. Just to be honest with you. Amen. I'll throw this out, and it's just for whatever it's worth. I don't understand paying ball players like they do and paying police officers like they do. I mean, you compare the two together, it doesn't make any sense. But because they're paying the criminals more than they're paying the police officers. A lot of them ball players are criminals. But anyway, people get praise they don't deserve, but our Lord deserves praise. You can't overdo it. Amen. You can't overdo it. I remember, on a school bus one time, I was going home with one of my friends from high school. And so I was riding a different bus than normal. And these two boys was fussing. One of them, my daddy can whoop your daddy. I bet my daddy could even whoop your mama. Because he knew his mama was whooping his daddy. But anyway, I mean, that's just going on. My daddy this, my daddy. And I thought, fellas, more than likely you have extended what you think your daddy can do bigger than he can. But our Father can do anything. He absolutely can. You can't tell it bigger than he can do it. He can. Amen. There's nothing too hard for our God, and I'm glad he can handle the situation. Amen. And so let's pray that God meet with us. I believe we can still have revival on this day. Amen. It doesn't matter how high gas prices are, we can still have revival. Amen. It really doesn't matter what's going on in politics or what's going on in world, you know, what's the right word? Wars and all that that's going on. Listen, God could still send revival. And we need to be praying for that and asking God for it. Amen. We'll get our ushers to come. We'll receive our tithe and offering tonight or today. And you giving that as the Lord has blessed you. And then when that's done, we're going to have the Lovett family come and sing for us here in just a moment. But be in prayer for the offering that God would bless it and use it. By the way, keep praying about the radio stations. And Brother Steve's still waiting on word from the electricians, hopefully one day this week. So pray that all that'll work out, and pray God help us with the needs there, and his will be done. All right. Brother Rick Jr., would you lead us in prayer, please?
Lord, I thank you for this good Sunday school hour we had this morning.
Yes. Yes.
I pray for the service we have this morning. Bless the preacher. Say something we need to hear. We keep it, bless it.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Appreciate you giving, appreciate the children giving. You know, I was thinking the other day about the fact that we just had these two ladies have babies back a couple of weeks ago, and so we was down to only one lady in the church expecting. And now we found out that Miss Amanda's expecting again. So congratulations to Miss Amanda and Brother Jim. Amen. And we need somebody else step up to the plate now. We've only got two. But that is a blessing, amen, and we want to give them congratulations, and it's a blessing to see all these children in the house of God. Good to have Riker with us, amen, from Lexington with us today, amen, that's a blessing, and each of you that's here, we're glad you're here, and hope you come to worship the Lord. All right, you pray for the Lovett family as they come and sing for us at this time, amen.
Thank you, Pastor, for having us, and we appreciate the opportunity. And so, yes, we are the Lovett family. Originally, we were the Phelps family. It was my grandparents back in the 60s. They got my mom to help them sing and then raised up singing several years. My grandpa, the last time he sang with us was probably like 25 days before the Lord called him home. And so I thank the Lord for that heritage in our lives. But if you don't remember who we are, that's okay. But just remember that we love the Lord and remember that we are redeemed.
Amen.
Has changed.
You were blessed by it as well. Amen. I don't know what's around the curve, but I know what's over the next hill. Amen. Amen. What's at the end of the road? We've got a good promise and a good God. Amen. And for the child of God, it's just going to get better. May get worse for a little while, but it's going to get better before it's all said and done. Amen. Amen. All right. Let's all stand back to our feet and get another congregational hymn and get ready for the Word of God. Amen.
Turn your hymnals to page 89, page 89, Mansion Over the Hilltop.
Standing, if you will, turn in your Bible to Romans chapter number 6. Romans chapter number 6. While you're turning, let me mention, if you will, do pray for the Lovett family. Do y'all have CDs with you that you could sell? All right. If you'd like to get some from them, I think that would be a blessing to you. And they gave us one of each last night, and we're going to be probably putting some of that on the radio. That'd be a blessing, but if you'd like to get one to have with you to listen to when you can't pick up the radio. Now, you know, anytime you can pick up the radio, it needs to be at 89.9. But otherwise, when you're out traveling, you can't reach that. Most things are not worth listening to. Just to be honest, you're just well to, amen, just well to tune in the CD there. And I believe it'd be a blessing to you. But pray for them. They're traveling back to North Carolina this evening. And so be in prayer for them in that. It's a blessing to have them with us today. Amen. And they are members of the Bethel Baptist Church in Hayes, North Carolina. That's the church my mom and dad's members of now. That's where Brother Kevin came from. And glad to have them with us today. Amen. And bless you. We've known them for years. My wife known Mrs. Lovett better and the kids better than I've. And I just met Brother Bobby. I'm sure I've met him before, but talked with him more yesterday than ever, I guess. Amen. But that's a blessing, and I appreciate your singing, don't you? Amen. Amen. Well, tonight I've got some new prayer letters come in. We've got some good things. Some of our missionaries have got some new church plants going. Amen. I'll mention that tonight about some of that since we won't be here Wednesday night. Normally we would be talking about those missionaries on Wednesday night, but I'll mention some of that tonight if you can come back. Regular service at 6:30 tonight. Now, in your Bible, Romans chapter number 6, and I'm going to begin reading in verse number 1 and going to read down through verse number 11. I'm not going to cover all those verses, but I want to start with verse 1 and read down through verse number 11. The Bible says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death?" Read verse 4 with me. We'll do it responsibly. Y'all get the even, I'll get the odd, all right? "Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Verse 11 will be our final verse. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer there. Brother Ricky, would you lead us in prayer, please? Thank you, Lord. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Help us, Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Right quick before I forget it again, I forgot it a couple times already. A couple of announcements. One, we only have one birthday in the church family this week. I think Sister Sharon having a birthday on Friday, so I want to wish Miss Sharon happy birthday and pray that she's blessed there. And then also the men's prayer meeting will be this Saturday at 7. Somebody ought to call Brother Crawford, tell him he can come to the men's prayer meeting. If he can make it to the women's, he ought to at least come to the men's prayer meeting. But we'll be meeting at 7. And the ladies meet at 9. We'll be meeting at 7 Saturday morning. And so if you can get in here, it'll be a blessing. We'll have coffee and fellowship and prayer. Amen. And hopefully it'll be a blessing in that. Looking in the scripture now, been looking at Romans verse by verse for some time. And got to chapter 6 last time. It's been a couple of weeks now. I wasn't here on Sunday. And by the way, I appreciate Brother Kirkman filling in for his own Sunday. I understand he did a good job Sunday morning and night, and then even the Wednesday before that when we were not here and had Brother Rutledge in. I appreciate Brother Rutledge preaching there. I understand things went well there also. But in looking at Romans, I said the first three chapters, really Paul's laying the groundwork about the gospel. The whole thing's about the gospel, by the way. He's not ashamed of the gospel, and we ought not be ashamed of the gospel. Matter of fact, we don't need to change it in 2022. Let's just stick with it, because that's the only thing that works, by the way. Amen. But Paul's saying, he's laying the groundwork in the first three chapters about how everybody in the world needs the gospel. Whether they're Jew or Gentile, whether they're religious or heathen, they need the gospel. And then he goes on in chapters really 3, 4, and 5, and he's dealing with there about not just how we need the gospel, but how justification takes place. It is free. We're saved freely by the grace of God. Amen. It's not of works of righteousness which we have done. It's not about how much money we've given. A man was telling me just the other day that he was at a funeral. And it was a Catholic funeral, and I'm not just bashing Catholics, but I'm just telling you how he said it was. He said the priest kept saying, now this brother does not have to go through purgatory because he paid enough money ahead of time. Literally. He said he must have said that 3 times. He paid enough money ahead of time that he don't have to go to purgatory. Now let me save you some money. There is no purgatory. There is none. It's a fabricated idea of man to get money out of people. Right. Put people in bondage to religion. That's right. Amen. So he's been talking about justification freely. Now he's getting to the point he's going to start talking about sanctification. Chapter 6, 7, and 8, he's going to deal with sanctification. And so I started a couple of weeks ago when I looked at these first two verses. We covered verse 1 and 2 and the questions that he asked, one being a question or two questions asked, and then the answer and answered with another question. And I said that then, I called this salvation produces sanctification. See, Jews had it backwards. They thought if I could just live good enough, that make me saved. Paul said, oh no, 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 no. You can never live good enough to be saved, but when you're saved, you ought to live better. That's what he's saying. He's just laying it out that way. That's how that it works. And of course the argument there in verse 1, they're asking if it's true, what he said in chapter 5, that when sin abounds, grace much more abounds. He said, if that's true, then we'll just sin more and more. And let God's grace abound more and more. And you'd be surprised how many people buy that very argument. They say, for example, that once saved, always saved doctrine means that you give people a license to sin. No, we're talking about people that are saved. Saved people don't even want a license to sin. They're wanting something to be done with their sin. Right? Somebody to deal with their sin. And so that's what he's talking about. Salvation produces sanctification. Now, today I'm going to try to cover from verse 3 through verse 7. And it'll be quite repetitive, to be honest with you. And one reason why I'm going to repeat is because Paul, under the inspiration of God, the Holy Ghost, repeated again and again the same statement. And he's using the symbolism of baptism. Now, he is not saying that when you were baptized, that made you saved. He's not saying that at all, and I'll say more about that if I can in just a moment. But let me just say that this chapter number 6, could be divided in two almost equal halves. The first 11 verses, I believe, go together, and then the following 12 verses go together. And we're looking at these 11 verses under the heading, Salvation Produces Sanctification. And so today would be part 2 of that. Now, we know that when somebody believes the truth, it shouldn't cause them to go into error. So if you believe right about salvation, then it ought not cause you to go wrong about sanctification. Right? It ought to cause you to go in the right direction. Amen. And so that's what he's saying in these scriptures. So look at verse number 3, and I'll deal with this thought about the baptism. Now, let me say verse number 2 ended by saying that saved people do not have to live any longer in sin. Matter of fact, he said once we were dead to sin, or dead in sin. Now he says we're dead to sin in verse number 2. Amen. What once held us in bondage is now gone. We're no longer in bondage. He broke the chains. Amen. And so this sermon today is going to try to cover these 5 verses from verse 3 through verse number 7. Verse number 3 says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Now, let me begin by just making a few introductory comments clarifying the statements concerning baptism. Protestants and Catholics have confused baptism 2 ways. One, they think it's sprinkling. That's not baptism. The word baptism means immersion. I like what Brother Billy Mitchell said. Somebody reminded me of this just the other day. Somebody asked Brother Mitchell, said, now, how do you believe baptism? Do you believe in sprinkling or pouring or immersion? Well, he said, I believe it all 3 ways. He said, what do you mean? He said, well, if they get saved in spots, sprinkle them. He said, if they get saved in streaks, pour them. He said, if they get saved all over, just dunk them. Amen. Put them all the way in. I think that's pretty good. But they view it as sprinkling as equal in baptism. And then they also have the wrong view in the believing that baptism is sacramental. That's a word they use, sacramental. In other words, that baptism produces or aids in a person's salvation. We don't believe that at all. Salvation comes before baptism. Amen. We believe, Baptists believe, and I believe it's Bible believes, that baptism is of believers. We call it believers' baptism. So salvation comes first. Then baptism follows. Why do you get baptized then? What's the good of baptism? It's showing the world what happened in your salvation. Amen. And so that's what he's going to deal with in this account. Now, one of the reasons why that the Catholics and the Protestants went to the sprinkling issue is because if salvation is produced by baptism, then surely you'd want your baby saved as soon as possible. And they did immerse babies for a while. Infant mortality was so high back in the early days anyway. Then you can imagine when you dunk a baby in freezing weather, you're really hurting it. And so they decided to make it a little bit more convenient. Again, you can do that if you don't have not one verse for what you're practicing anyway. You can make it as convenient as you want to. But here's what we believe. We believe in baptism of believers. Amen. That we believe that is immersion after a statement of faith. They are baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And we don't have any right or reason to change that because we got Bible. Amen. On those things. Amen. So, and again, there's not one account in your King James Bible of anybody ever being sprinkled. There's not one account in your King James Bible of anybody being baptized for salvation. I know they say baptized for the remission of sin. And I like the statement. Somebody said this. You ever got a ticket for speeding? It didn't mean you could speed because you got a ticket. It meant you got a ticket because you was speeding. You get baptized for salvation, not so you can be saved. You get baptized because you have been. That's right, because you have been saved. Now, notice this phrase in verse number 3. Know you not that so many of us as were baptized, look here, into Jesus Christ. Not just in the name of. Not just baptized in water. So he's not talking about water baptism. He's using that as the symbolism. But he said you were immersed in Jesus is what happened. Amen. Into Jesus. This statement is only found one other time. If you'd like to turn, I'll be using a lot of Bible in Galatians chapter number 3. Galatians chapter number 3. He uses this statement the only other time that it is used. Baptized into Jesus. He's going to use that here. Amen. Or into Christ. He used that phrase. Into Christ. Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 27. Galatians chapter 3 verse 27. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Almost identical wording, by the way. As many of us as have been baptized, as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So it's not talking about water baptism. He's speaking about a spiritual union with Christ. We don't hear much about that, by the way. One thing I'll give credit, a lot of those Protestant writers would talk about the union with Christ. Amen. And those Puritans and those folks would write about the union. In other words, this is the idea. We've become one with Christ. It's not me that's alive right now. It's Christ living in me. That's what he said. I consider myself dead and I reckon to be alive in him. Amen. And so that's the phrase that he's using and what he's pointing to. It's talking about a spiritual union with Christ. When we got saved, we were totally immersed spiritually by faith in Jesus. When God sees me, he doesn't see Pharaoh Shepherd anymore. He sees Jesus. Amen. When he sees the person that gets saved, by the way, when he sees you as a sinner, he sees a condemned person. But when you put on Christ Jesus, when you get saved by the grace of God, he does not see you as a condemned sinner. He sees you as the only begotten, beloved Son of God. Amen. In whom he's well pleased. Amen. Thank God he does. He sees us in Jesus. So here's what happened. When we got saved, we were totally immersed spiritually by faith in Jesus. Our life was surrendered unto him. Well, people don't understand that at salvation anymore. No, it's just repeat a prayer. It's just agree to a few statements. No, real salvation is you surrendering to Christ. Amen. We accepted his death on Calvary as our own. That was for me. You've heard it said, Joshua said it here the other day. He not only died for me, he died as me. Amen. He suffered God's punishment for me on Calvary. We surrender our life to him. We accept his death as our own. Therefore, his resurrected life is our own as well. And that's what Paul's going to deal with exactly in this. And that's what baptism represents. Buried and risen again. Amen. Galatians 2:20, we know it very well. I alluded to it a minute ago. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live of the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul was saying, listen, it's not me anymore, it's Jesus. That's what he's talking about in this text as well. When we believed the gospel message, we believed that Jesus Christ died for us. Amen. Thus we accepted his death as our own. Paul's asking us a question. Somebody that reckons themselves to be dead with Christ on the cross, how could they plan to go on in sin? How could they purpose to go on in sin? Amen. Now, and I don't want to get too far in these weeds, but you know it's true. There's people walking around knocking on doors and telling people, listen, you don't have to repent of nothing. You just go right on living in your sin and just say these words and you'll be saved. That's not salvation. That's not Bible salvation. Bible salvation is you made a new creature in Christ Jesus. And we'll get there. You know, so Paul asked these Roman Christians, if they didn't know this, did you not know? Know ye not? Did you not realize that your water baptism was a symbol, not a sacrament, a symbol of what you did in Christ? You died in Christ and you're risen in Christ and you're walking the new life in Christ Jesus. Amen. That's why, by the way, we believe in church baptism, local church. I don't just go out and baptize nilly-willy or willy-nilly. Amen. They got to be willing to join the church. Why is that? The church is considered the body of Christ, right? They got to be putting on Christ. They got to recognize, hey, listen, I'm not some lone ranger. I'm just out on my own doing my own thing. No, I'm a part of something. I'm a part of the body of Christ. So Paul asked him, did you not realize this, that you've been buried with Christ? You're risen again to live with him. And it seems to me like that these early Christians put so much emphasis on the symbolism of baptism. At least when you look at history, historically, that they began to think that baptism actually produced salvation. But that's not what's here. We could never wash our sins away in water. Amen. Amen. When Christ died on Calvary for my sins, I embraced him as my only hope. By faith, I embraced his death as my own. Galatians chapter 6. I should have just kept my place in Galatians. Let me get back over there. Galatians chapter 6 says something about that. Verse number 14. Galatians chapter 6 verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Amen. Brother Kirkman loves that verse. That's one of his favorite verses. He and I have talked about this in the past. What Paul's saying there in Galatians 6, he's saying, as far as I'm concerned, the world has nothing for me. The world was crucified on Calvary. And he said, as far as the world's concerned, they ain't got no use for me. Because I was crucified on Calvary. What's he talking about? Our placing ourselves in Jesus. In other words, I reckon myself dead in sin, or I should say dead to sin in Christ Jesus. Amen. Christ died. Amen. He died for sin. I can't die for sin, but I can die to it. Amen. Having been crucified with him. This doctrine, once correctly understood, would never cause someone to imagine that Christians have a license to sin. Paul uses this over and over again. Let me just throw this out. You know this verse. And it's in Titus 2:14. We start back at 2:12, but in Titus 2:14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. When Jesus saved us, he didn't just save us from a little sin. He saved us from all of it. He forgave it all. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And so therefore, why should I want to hang on to even a little of it? Amen. And so he's saying we're dead. Just in that thought's continued on in verse number 4. Therefore, look at verse 4 of Romans 6. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Just as soon as I looked down at my Bible, I realized I left out a phrase in verse number 12. He talks about that so many of us. That doesn't mean that some of them had and some of them hadn't. Every single one of those Christians had been baptized. Amen. And what he said is that baptism represents something. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. When we take Christ, we don't take him piecemeal. We take him all or nothing. Somebody said it's all or not at all. I think that's right. Amen. You don't get a Savior without a Lord. Amen. He is both Lord and Savior to those who believe. Amen. If water baptism symbolizes our union with Christ in his death on Calvary, then it also symbolizes our being buried with him in a borrowed tomb. And it symbolizes our rising again on the third day. Listen, when Christ rose again from the grave, he didn't have sin hanging on to him. Amen. When he hung on the cross, he who knew no sin became sin. He took upon himself the sins of the whole world. But when he got up from the grave, he didn't have sin hanging on to him. Not a little, not none, not any, amen. Not none, that sounds like Wilkes County. That's almost as bad as Thunkin, amen. I said I was going to say something about that. Anyway, but he didn't have any sin hanging on to him. So therefore, when we get saved, listen, we don't want to hang on to sin. We're not making excuses for sin. We're through with that stuff. We're saying, Lord, here I am. Take me, make me something new. Amen. He said we should walk in newness of life. That last phrase of verse 4. Amen. When a dead man gets up from the grave. Let me just ask this. When Jesus called Lazarus out of the grave, he'd been dead 4 days already. You don't think he got up and acted just like he'd always acted, do you? You think there's something different about him. I mean, he come out of the grave. He's had an experience nobody else that he ever met had that same experience. Amen. He's a new creature. Amen. That's how we ought to be when we come up out of the grave. Now again, he's saying this symbolism. We've been baptized into Christ in verse number 3, but he also said into his death. Symbolizes our old man was fully swallowed up in death, that we have been set free. Amen. Our old man was fully swallowed up in sin. That's what our old man was. And so when we died with him, was fully swallowed up in death. We were swallowed up in death, but death couldn't hold us. Death couldn't hold him. And we've been resurrected in newness of life. That's what he's talking about. Sin no longer holds on to us. That's what he's saying. We've been resurrected into newness of life. Now, all of this portion of scripture that I'm dealing with today keeps referring to the symbolism of water baptism. None of it speaking about a benefit we get from water baptism. I want to keep enforcing that because somebody tuning in late might say, well, he's talking about baptismal regeneration. No, there is no such thing. Amen. He's telling us the truth that is behind the symbolism. The truth that is being symbolized by that baptism. All right? Now, whereas when we were buried in water. By the way, I was reading, and I like to read a lot of the commentaries, and most of them are written by Protestants. And I read the whole thing, this whole section. He said Romans 6, 1 through 11 is talking about the sacrament of baptism. How come baptism is so important towards salvation? And I'm thinking, fella, you got this totally wrong. I read another fella, and he's talking about this, and he said, it's not talking about water baptism at all. He said, it's not even alluding to water baptism. How can you say, I realize he's not dogmatically speaking of baptism, but he's showing you the symbolism of baptism. That's what he's showing us in these verses, all right? So, he's saying when we were baptized, we were completely buried. When we go in this baptistry behind here and we have a baptism, everybody's watching, but for a moment, I mean, you see somebody standing here. I don't remember who was the last person who got baptized in here. Somebody raise your hand. Who was the last person who got baptized? Miss Jennifer? Was it Helen? Jennifer and Helen together. Right? I can't remember. All right. So whoever, all right, I'll use them both. They wasn't baptized at the same time. One of them had to be last. All right, I don't know which one was last. They'll be first. Anyway, whoever, I'll use Miss Helen, all right? Miss Helen's down here and you're seeing Miss Helen. And she makes her profession. Here's what we say. Upon your profession of faith in Him, under the authority of the Island Ford Baptist Church, we baptize this, our sister, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And by the way, what we're saying is in the name of, we're saying, you're not seeing Helen anymore. What you're seeing is what Jesus did. And she goes out of sight. And she stops breathing. That's why baptism represents death, by the way. Now, she didn't keep stop breathing. I let her up. Even though Brother Ricky kept saying, don't. I'm kidding. No. But so she goes out of sight. She, you know what she was, for a moment, she was buried. And y'all see me, I have problems baptizing people. People grab on the glass, hang on. Some people raise their head up and you can't hardly get them under. You got all these different things going on, but we're intent on this. Not only are you saying I died with Christ, but we're going to bury you in that water. Why? Because there's symbolism there. That something went in that grave. What was that? We're talking about the old man died with Christ and is buried. But there's a new man coming up out of that grave. Amen. That's what baptism represents. Amen. Now, allow me if you will. Well, let me back up. Notice the phrase says that Jesus was raised by the glory of the Father. Let me see if I can find that. And that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father. We could say the power of God raised him, but it was the glory of God. It's speaking about the power of God. If God had the power to raise Jesus up out of the literal grave, he has the power to help us live a life that's pleasing unto him. Amen. He has that power. We can live the victorious life in Christ. Now, here's where I want to insert a question. Would hanging on to sin bring glory to God? Or would laying down our sin, burying our sin, forsaking our sin, that would bring glory to God? That's what he's telling us we need to live for God. Amen. We need to live a life to the glory of the Father. Amen. Now, there are those that read this verse to say that we shall be raised up from a literal grave. They said that's talking about the resurrection to come. But it's obvious in the context of the scripture that he's talking about a spiritual death with Christ, a spiritual burial with Christ, and a spiritual resurrection. With, not that we won't be raised one day, but this is not dealing with the second coming. This is dealing with salvation and sanctification. Amen. Now, it's compatible. He's talking about a new life now, not a new life later. It's compatible with what he said there in Titus 2, 11 and 12. He says that the grace of God hath appeared unto all men. What's it do? Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly. When? Right now, in this present world. God wants us to live right now. But, well, preacher, I'll live right when I get to glory. Sure you will. You won't have a choice. Now you have a choice, but you ought to live right for the glory of God. Amen. Amen. Now, we're to live in this present world. Look at verse number 5. He practically repeats the verse again, verse number 5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Slightly different wording, but repeating the same statement. By the way, that's a popular theme with Paul. Look at Colossians chapter number 2. Colossians chapter 2 is going to say it again. And I could have found other places, but I'm just picking these because they're so similar. He's talking about death, burial, and resurrection with Christ. All right? Colossians 2:12. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. So you see that again? Paul is saying we are buried with him. Notice now in Romans, he said we should live in newness of life. In Colossians 2, he said we shall live. Amen. We shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. So, the argument's passing. You may notice this, you may not, but the argument is passing along the line. There's three steps: death, burial, and resurrection. By the way, that's the gospel. And so he said you had to be with him in his death. But that ain't all. You had to be with him in his burial. But that ain't all. You had to be with him in his resurrection. You've got to believe all those. By the way, Paul says in 1 Corinthians, he said, if you don't believe that resurrection, you've lost it all. Didn't do you any good for the death or the burial. Not if you don't believe the resurrection. So you have to take the whole thing. Again, we don't take Christ piece by piece. We take him all or not at all. Amen. So Christians cannot continue to live in sin. It doesn't mean that we are not capable of sin, and we know we're capable. But it means we can't hang on. You can't bargain with God. God, I'll tell you what I'll do. If you'll save me, I'll cut back on my drinking. If you'll save me, I'll cut back on my adultery. If you'll save me, I'll cut back on my cursing. Oh, no. You got to be willing to turn it all over. Lord, as far as I'm concerned, I'm done with it. Don't mean you won't ever mess up, but you're not making plans to mess up. That's what he's talking about here. Amen. Now, back in Romans chapter 6, verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and henceforth we should not serve sin. Again, repeating it, but he started off in verse 3 with the phrase, know ye not. Verse number 6, he said, with this we do know. We got this nailed down. Without a question, without any second thoughts, we know, we're assured of this. What is that? That our old man is crucified with him. Why? Why was that? That the body of sin might be destroyed. Amen. That henceforth we should not serve sin. So here's what he's saying. We know this, that what died with Christ on the cross was our old man. It was our sin that Christ took upon himself. That old man. That was done that the body of sin might be destroyed. Not our physical body. That's not what he's talking about. Some people look at that, our body causes sin. And I recognize it is a vehicle that we do sin with. But when he's talking about the body of sin, he's talking about that old man. That old nature, those old desires that he's talking about there. Amen. So here's what he's saying. Sin, now get this if you don't get anything else. Sin is why Christ went to Calvary. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. What were they lost in? Sin. Right? He came to pay the sin debt. And in doing that, he set us free from our old man. Free from the body of sin that held us in bondage and servitude to sin. Now, I say again because I don't want misunderstanding. When a person gets saved, that does not mean they are incapable of sinning. But it does mean that they have a new master. They were in servitude to sin. They were enslaved in sin. They were in bondage to sin. Now we got a new master. Amen. And we can say we've been set free because we're free in Christ Jesus. Amen. Free from the bondage of sin. Amen. I've got a couple more verses. Let me say this. God does have a plan for the new life of a Christian. He has a plan for that. He wants us to live for God. You don't have to turn. I'll read them to you. Romans chapter 8 verse 29. You know this well. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. What did he predestinate us to do? To be conformed to the image of his son. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. You know what? God had a plan all along. That everybody that gets in Christ, they'll be saved and they will become like Jesus. Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. That's what 1 John said. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live under righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. He said Christ took our sins upon him that we could be set free. Amen. Now, I'm almost to verse 7. You can see verse 7 is short. I'll be short with that. All right. But before I get there, that phrase, our old man. It's mentioned in this verse It's the same as spoken of in Ephesians chapter 4 and Colossians chapter 3. I'm not going to chase it there, but they said over and over. Ephesians 4 and Colossians 3. Talking about that old man. We're told to put on the new man. Put off the old man. All that that goes along in that. It refers to our old corrupt affections. Those notions, those desires that we had before. Amen. I say this and I'm moving on. Salvation does not make you inhuman. You're still human. You're still human. Before you got saved, somebody slapped you in the face, it didn't make you mad. Guess what? Probably still will. But you have somebody helping you control that anger that you didn't have before. I mean, before you just fly off and who knows what would happen. Amen. Well, you probably know what would happen. I don't even need to repeat it here. Just a bunch of bleep, 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 bleeping. Yeah. But when you're saved by the grace of God, you've got a new master now that helps you when those problems arise. Amen. That old nature has been crucified. That old affection, those old notions and desires. Now we are new creatures in Christ Jesus. That's what he talks about. Amen. Before we were saved, our old man dominated. Now we've been set free. Verse 7 says that. Look at it. Verse 7. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Of course. You remember me telling the other week, right before I left, about the young lady that got killed near where Joshua pastors? I didn't realize it was as close as it was. The intersection's probably not. I know it's not 500 feet. From the driveway of his church. And this lady got killed. Riding a bicycle. 10 o'clock at night. Ran into a van. The van didn't hit her. She hit the van. And her head went through the windshield. And her body continued going on. I saw the markings on the pavement. Josh and I walked down there. And from where she was hit, it knocked her body, I don't know, at least 50 feet. And then the van continued on probably another 50 or 75 feet. Before it got stopped. And they know she come from a drug house. She just left a drug house on her bicycle with her backpack. Do you know what they didn't do? They didn't run down there and handcuff her. Because she's dead. She's freed from sin. But they're not going to call the law and say, well, we got to put out an all points bulletin. We got a woman here that we know's got drugs. No, they didn't. You know why? She's dead. Listen, we got to recognize ourselves as dead to sin. That's what he's talking about here. It's Paul's summation of this doctrine. In other words, how could we imagine that we'd have a license to continue on in sin? How could we imagine that we might go on, that grace might abound more if we just sin more when we know Christ died for our sin and we died with him? We should no longer continue in the bondage of sin. Amen. Since sin was judged in the body of our Lord Jesus on Calvary, why should we even consider allowing it to hang on to us now? When those thoughts come, say, I don't want to have anything to do with that. I'm done with that. Amen. And you say, preacher, that's easier said than done. I understand that, but we do have that capability now by the grace of God. That's what he's talking about. We have been forgiven. So what should we do? What did Jesus say to that woman when he forgave her caught in the very act of adultery? He said, go and sin. How much more? No more. You think he thought she's going to live perfect rest of her life? No, but he said, don't make any room for sin anymore. You don't have to. Amen. Quit making excuses for it. That's what he's saying. Confess it. Repent of it. Get to God. Amen. Now, we have been justified. Therefore, we should live sanctified. Amen. Peter says that. If you want to turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. One more I'll have you turn to. We're coming back to Romans 6. Don't leave it yet. So, 1 Peter. Let me get here. 1 Peter, chapter number 4. The first two verses. I want you to notice them. Look with me if you will. 1 Peter, chapter 4. This is not Paul's doctrine. This is Bible doctrine. For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh. Look at what he said. Arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. All right, now there, boy, and I don't have time to preach this, but there's a lot about your frame of mind. how you're looking at things. If you want to be strengthened in the Lord, he said, arm yourself with this mind, the same mind that Christ had. All right, let me get on. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. Again, not that we can't sin, but we don't have to go down that route anymore. We don't have to live in bondage to that. We can walk in the Spirit and so not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Amen. So the argument's been put on two fronts. Did you notice that? Each one saying that believers should not continue in sin. First of all, we died with Christ, and dead men don't commit sin. So we shouldn't. Secondly, since we've been raised to new life, we ought not live the old life. We ought to live the new life. Amen. We got a new nature, therefore we're no longer in bondage to sin. Now our text ends what I'm using today in verse number 7. A final blow. Dead men do not commit sin. So, what should we do? Look at verse 11. That's the last verse in this section that I'm going to deal with. And I'm not going to preach verse 11. I'm just going to allude to it because it ties right here. Likewise, reckon ye yourself. Now reckon's not just a southern word. It is a good southern Bible word, by the way. But the word reckon means get this in your mind. It deals with see it this way. Right? Look at it through these lenses. All right? Reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Here's the clue. Here's the key, I should say. Here's the key. When you get up in the morning, your prayer ought to be, Lord, I don't want to live like I want to live. I want to live for Jesus. Lord, thank you for another day, but let me represent Christ today to my family, to my co-workers, in my life. Lord, let me represent Christ today. Let's stand to our feet as they come with a song. We know that all lost people are enslaved to sin. It's in their nature, and it's their master. I wonder today if there's somebody still lost in sin. Have you been made a new creature, or are you still in slavery? Those that have come to Christ have experienced His delivering power. Not that we've lived it perfectly, but we know that He can deliver us. Amen. This section is telling us how we should look at sin, how we should live our life for the glory of God. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for reminding us and maybe even just opening our eyes to the fact that we died with Christ. We're not supposed to be living our own life and doing our own thing and said, ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. Oh, no. No, we're supposed to be living in Christ. It's not me, it's living. It's Christ living in me. Lord, help us to see it that way. Help us to get this frame of mind. Help us to look at it through these lenses for your glory and honor. I believe, Lord, that it would bring you glory if Christians would start being what their name proclaims, Christ-like. Lord, help us to be Christ-like for your glory and honor. Lord, I have to confess that sometimes I don't always measure up. Sometimes I fail. And I'm asking you now to forgive me, but I'm also asking you to help me not fail again. Help me to live for Jesus, for your glory and honor. I pray that prayer for others as well. In Christ Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing. If you need to come, pray. Some's praying already. Some's praying in their pew. If you need to come and pray, won't you do business with God while we sing?
241.
241. While we sing, you obey the Lord. Grace that exceeds, thank God. yeah, man, abounds much more. Yeah, man. Do you need grace? Do you need prayer? Do you need help? God's grace, grace that is greater, thank God, than all our sins. Sing another verse of that. You need to come. Yep. Praise God for the grace of God. Amen. I'm glad He still works in 2022. I guess there's more sin right now than there's ever been. Seems like liquor's flowing like crazy. Drugs even being legalized. Going through Kansas, seeing those signs, best cannabis here and all that kind of stuff. Down in Oklahoma, that was Oklahoma. That was Oklahoma, was that? All that kind of stuff. Sin on every hand. But I'm glad grace much more bounds. God's still able to save sinners right out of their sin. He's able to cleanse them. Amen. And He's able to keep us, by the way. We can live holy, righteously, and godly in this present world. Amen. All right. We're going to dismiss a word of prayer. Be sure and see the Lubbocks. I know they need to get on the road. And I've held them over a little bit past regular lunchtime. Plus, their biological clock's an hour ahead of us anyway. That's why they look like they do. They're older than we are. but remember them, if you want to get some of their CDs, do that. Let them know you appreciate them being here. And Curtis and his wife, glad y'all are here. Amen. Amen. And let these folks know you appreciate them being here. If you can come back tonight, 6:30 regular service, we'll meet in here. Lord willing, we'll be looking at the book of Proverbs, chapter 16, Lord willing, tonight maybe. And so see what God has in store for us here on that as well. All right. We're going to dismiss a word of prayer. Get my wife to come up front. We'll stand here and shake hands if you want to come around and shake with us. And be in prayer for our family. Be in prayer for us as we travel to North Carolina as well. Lord, working all that. And then all the needs of the church. Keep Brother Hall, Mrs. Hall, the sick, Brother Leroy, the sick and afflicted different ones in prayer. Lord, be with them and help them as well. All right. All right. We're going to dismiss in a word of prayer. Brother Troy, would you dismiss us, please?